New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, guys? Thank you so very much for joining me right here on Off the Script. This is your AEW Dynamite post show for Christmas Day, December 25th, 2024. I am your host, JD from New York. As always, coming to you live from the OTS venue inside my mother's basement. Thank you guys so very much for joining me on your Wednesday evenings, wherever you may be. Not joined by the Chi-Town Smark, as he mentioned last week. He's spending time, and rightfully so, with his family. He will join me for World's End on Saturday night. So that's when you'll see Jesse back. And Jesse right now is celebrating and relaxing on this Christmas night. As I should be. But I'm here, and I don't want to hear from anybody that I'm not a sicko. Because I'm here on Christmas night covering Dynamite, one of only two creators in this space covering this show tonight, man. Even the big AEW shills, they're not even covering this show tonight, man. It's me and the Solid Monster. The Tuesday Night Titans are covering this fucking shit show tonight, man. Go figure. Dynamite tonight, man. If you enjoy great pro wrestling, this show is right up your alley. Right in your wheelhouse, man. If you guys wanted a show that gave you story and really got you excited about the pay-per-view on Saturday night, which I'm going to take a stab in the night and guess many of you don't even realize there's a pay-per-view this Saturday. If you guys wanted a show that had some story, the show was not for you, man. The show was definitely not for you. If you enjoyed Dynamite shows that give you match after match after match after match after match, this show was for you. If you wanted a Dynamite show that just gave you matches and nothing else, you were in heaven. But not for me. I really like a show that's toned down and slows the pace and gives you a interview in the ring or backstage segment here and a backstage segment there. You didn't get really any of that tonight. This was a good show, but a show that very much lacked any type of story whatsoever. They gave you the rest of the Continental Classic matches that needed to play out so that we could get to Saturday's pay-per-view, and we get the semifinals and the finals happening at the pay-per-view. Now, I know they had mentioned before the tournament started, or the first week of the tournament starting, that they were changing the rules. Supposedly, they changed the rules from last year. The Continental Classic last year had the semifinals in the Gold League and the semifinals in the Blue League, and the winner of the Gold League would wrestle the winner of the Blue League in the finals of the Continental Classic to crown the new Continental Champion. It's the way it should be. And I know that they had changed the rules, but in typical fashion, AEW doesn't really do anything to nail that statement or nail that narrative home. They didn't do anything as far as give you the rules throughout the tournament. They mentioned it once and then they completely forgot to mention it again. So, you know, in typical fashion, that leads to people forgetting that there's actually a rule change. And here I am, I'm thinking, all right, we got Will Ospreay and Ricochet in the Gold League and they're going to meet in the semifinals. And Kyle Fletcher and Okada, They're in the Blue League, and they're going to be in the semifinals, and the winner of the Gold League is going to be Will Ospreay, and the winner of the Gold League is going to challenge the Blue League winner, who's going to be Kyle Fletcher, and we're going to get Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay again at the pay-per-view. That's what I thought we were getting. We're not getting that. Apparently, we're getting the tournament playing out in some European soccer league-like fashion. And I'm struggling to understand why. I remember that they had said that the rules changed from last year. Now, the one thing I do remember is the semifinals happening at the pay-per-view and the finals happening at the pay-per-view as well. It's one of the only things I really remember. I did not. It's easy to overlook. It really is easy to overlook. The fact that the semifinals are going to be a mix of both leagues. So Ricochet and Will Ospreay win the Gold League. They're the two finalists in the Gold League. Normally, they would wrestle each other. Okada and Kyle Fletcher won the Blue League. Normally, they would wrestle each other. So Ricochet finished number one in the Gold League. And Okada finished number one in the Blue League. So number one in the Gold League now wrestles number one in the Blue League. Are you guys paying attention? Are you guys following along? Ricochet, number one in the Gold League, now wrestles Okada, number one in the Blue League. That's happening at the pay-per-view. Will Ospreay, number two in the Blue in the Gold League. Number two in the Gold League. Wrestles Kyle Fletcher, who's number two in the Blue League. And the winners of these matches wrestles in the finals on the same night, Saturday night. Both of these matches are happening at the pay-per-view on Saturday night. And then the finals are also happening on Saturday night, which, A, is a high probability for injury, seeing how all four of these guys wrestle. And B, it's basically tells you that they didn't want to do too much work. They didn't want to put too much effort into building an actual pay-per-view with story, which is par for the course in AEW for 2024. I have a question. Did AEW ever give you an explanation as to why they changed the rules of the Continental Classic this year? I'll wait. I'll give you guys a heads up because I know the chat is delayed by a good 10, 15 seconds, man. Did AEW ever give us an explanation as to why Tony Khan changed the rules of the Continental Classic? The answer is no. As usual, they failed to explain why they changed the rules. Now, it's sad, very sad. I have to go to X and use Grok, their AI-generated bot on X, to find a reason as to why we had the Continental rules change, the Continental Classic rules change for this year's tournament. Grok gave me an answer that Tony Khan and AEW should have given me. Every single week, we didn't get one single explanation as to why. Grok, an AI-generated bot, gave me the reason. So I type in, why did AEW change the rules of their Continental Classic tournament for 2024? The answer is, according to Grok, AEW made changes to the rules of their Continental Classic tournament to enhance the structure and competitive nature of the event based on feedback and the desire to avoid past issues. What past issues were there to avoid? Semifinal matchups. One of the primary changes was the format of the semifinals. Instead of having each league's top two wrestlers face off within their own league, the 2024 Continental Classic Tournament introduced a cross-league pairing where the winner of one league faces the runner-up of the other league. This adjustment was intended to create a more varied and potentially more exciting matches, ensuring that the semifinals at World's End wouldn't just be a repeat of league matches. Interesting. It's a very interesting thought process there, Grok. Thank you very much. I wish one of their esteemed commentators and journalists would have given me this reason. Now, Grok says, and I'm assuming that this is the line of thinking that AEW Creative was thinking. This adjustment was intended to create more variant potential matchups, exciting matchups, ensuring that the semifinals at World's End wouldn't just be a repeat of league matches. It's great. It's great. I got two bangers for you. Number one, isn't Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay a repeat of a pay-per-view match that we just got last month at Full Gear? Or am I losing my fucking mind?
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So you do this tournament to ensure us that we don't get a repeat of semifinal matches in the same league. But Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher is a repeat of a match that we got at Full Gear. Or did you guys forget that match actually happened? Here's another one for you. More exciting, it says. More exciting matches and more very potentially exciting matches, ensuring that the semifinals at World's End wouldn't just be a repeat of league matches. But you went ahead and told a story of Will Ospreay and Ricochet on Collision Saturday night. A Will Ospreay and Ricochet match where Ricochet cheated to win. Very blatantly. So much so that Will Ospreay, they filmed a segment for social media and had him go and confront Ricochet in the dressing room, asking him if he cheated. Now, the referee of that match stopped Ospreay in the stairway during this clip, and he told Will Ospreay exactly what happened. He felt like he was pushed. Ricochet says, "I didn't cheat. Go back and watch the tape. I didn't watch. I didn't do that. Go back and watch it. I didn't do what you're telling me or what you're accusing me of." So you want to build intriguing matchups by changing the rules of the tournament. Meanwhile, you went ahead and built us a story that is interesting in their own league, and then you don't give us that match at the pay-per-view. That should be a given. The Gold League is telling a story between Will Ospreay and Ricochet. And then you opt to change the rules this year and then not deliver that match and that story? I don't really get it. I am dumbfounded at the sheer stupidity of this company. That you basically wanted this tournament to be nothing more than banger matches. So Will Ospreay is going into the pay-per-view wrestling someone who has nothing to do with the fucking league that he was wrestling in. Why? I don't get it. Meanwhile, you're telling a story with Ospreay and Ricochet, and that's the story that we want to see for Ricochet and Ospreay to finish their league. Exciting matches. Unpredictability. We want to give you different matches, and we don't want to repeat of matches. Meanwhile, the semifinals is a repeat of what we got at Full Gear. The final is going to be a repeat of whatever we got previously over the last 6 weeks. It doesn't matter. You changed the rules for absolutely no reason. You didn't give us an explanation as to why you changed the rules. You just went and changed the rules because that's what he wanted to do. That's what Tony Khan wanted to do. Meanwhile, we had a story play on Saturday night that you filmed a fucking extra for on social media. Now we don't know if we're going to get it played out at all in the tournament, where it matters. And the reason why I get this heated over it is because now you're predicting, now you're giving the illusion that the one guy who needs to win this tournament might not win the tournament at all. I don't give a shit how predictable it would have been. I don't give a shit how blatant it would have been. There's only one winner of this tournament. It's not Will Ospreay, it's not Okada, and it's not Ricochet. If Kyle Fletcher does not win this tournament, then we wasted 5 weeks of basically everybody watching this show and Collision. Fact. Kyle Fletcher needs to win this tournament. He needed to beat Will Ospreay at the pay-per-view. He did. He was going to be in this tournament, and he had basically 9 points before anybody else. He was on his way to going full clean sweep in this tournament. They clearly didn't want him to do that because they wanted unpredictability. So they had him lose to Mark Briscoe. And he only ends up with 9 points. They changed the rules for absolutely no reason, but we want to be different. You changed the one rule that didn't need to be changed. The one rule that needed to be changed was the fucking fact of the matter that this tournament is being wrestled for 5 weeks. You got fucking all these guys wrestling for 5 weeks over a dead title. The Continental title means absolutely nothing. Zero. Whoever wins it, it will mean nothing. It meant nothing on Okada. It meant nothing on Eddie Kingston, because what they did, as soon as Eddie Kingston won, open challenge, open challenge, open challenge. Gee, man. Aren't you doing the same thing with the International Championship? Are you doing the same thing with the TNT Championship? How many matches do we have to see? Open challenge. Every fucking title, open challenge. Tony's ruined the championships and the prestige of said championships in this company. Yet I'm the bad guy. Oh, he just complains just for the sake of complaining. No. No, I complain because nothing makes sense. If you're going to make a change, then give us a reason why the change was made. Give us a reason where I understand it via a human being telling me on TV instead of me going through a fucking AI-generated bot on Twitter. We want more exciting matches. We want more unpredictability. We want fresh matchups. The whole fucking tournament was fresh matchups. What the fuck are you talking about? Now you're worried about fresh matchups. When we're getting down to the end, you're worried about fucking fresh matchups. Meanwhile, Ricochet and Okada, not really a story I want to see play out here. It's all about Ospreay and Ricochet now. And if you go and do that match in the final, then you're fucking over the one guy that should be winning the tournament. Then you're going back to Ospreay and Fletcher, which was already a match at the last pay-per-view. So please tell me how this is a fresh, exciting new matchup. The Continental Championship needs a complete restructure next year. They need to go back to the original rules. One league, two leagues, and the winner of both leagues wrestle each other in the finals. None of this fucking European football, European soccer-like garbage. This is America. I don't give a fuck what another country does with their sports leagues. Keep it there. This is America. You don't see the American League fucking division winner challenging the National League East winner, the American League East versus the National League East in the fucking playoffs. There would be zero meaning to the World Series. Why? I don't understand the way that this company operates. I don't. So now we got Ricochet and Okada. Is Ricochet going to win? Or is Okada going to win? They're so bent on giving us fresh matchups. The only fresh matchup here would be Ricochet and Kyle Fletcher. If we're really going to go and do that, are they just going to beat Okada outright? I have my theories. Kyle Fletcher needs to win the tournament. They have not done anybody any justice this year. None. You're in the business to not play with your toys. I don't give a fuck who you play with, how you play with them. You're in the business to make money. You're in the business to tell captivating stories. And you're in the business to be that guy to assemble a team of men and women who know what the fuck they're doing to enhance everybody that we see on TV. They have not done that at all. This year especially, it's the worst ever. It's the worst it's ever been. You have an opportunity to make a new star. You have the opportunity to take Kyle Fletcher, who had nobody at all on his side when he was in the Don Callis family. You transform this kid in 6 months to be the next Randy fucking Orton. I see a lot of Randy Orton and Kyle Fletcher. You got this kid in this tournament after beating Will Ospreay the way that he did at Full Gear. If he does not win this tournament, you wasted 5 weeks of everybody's time. 5 weeks. Build and make new stars. I don't give a shit what it takes. The Jon Moxley Death Rider storyline was to get everybody else over. How many people has it gotten over since we've embarked on this terrible story? Zero. He's done nothing to enhance anybody. Chris Jericho continues to fucking kill instead of create. And nobody else on the roster is better off for anything that they've done. Swerve is less than. Adam Page is less than. Okada is less than. Mercedes has been a fucking absolutely huge creative failure. You're going to let Kyle Fletcher slip through your fingertips. You're going to let Kyle Fletcher not win this tournament. I dare them to not put Kyle Fletcher on that podium with the Continental title on Saturday. That's why we're all here. Whether you like Fletcher or not, I don't give a shit. You either go all the way with somebody or you don't go all the way at all. You don't. Go all the way with him or don't. You've gotten already to the halfway marker. More than halfway. If we do Ospreay and Fletcher again on Saturday, Ospreay is losing. And Ricochet and Okada, I'm going Fletcher and Ricochet, and I'm going Fletcher beating Ricochet. Fletcher wins clean, and Okada loses thanks to Kenny Omega. Now, I don't know if the ruling of the Continental Classic is going to be in play still. I'm assuming that we will still get the ruling where nobody can interfere. No outside interference. It's going to be interesting to see how they play that. Ricochet is going to beat Okada straight up clean. I don't know, man. I don't know. You're really running the risk of Ospreay losing more than he has won. And you're really running the risk of taking Ricochet and his character and not building upon that either. Kyle Fletcher. The only thing that needs to be changed is what these people are fighting over. We're fighting over a dead title. Imagine going through a tournament, this grueling tournament, where you got to wrestle 6 matches and accumulate the most fucking points, wrestle every week, and the end prize is the Continental title. I don't know why they haven't yet consolidated their titles. The Continental title is dead. The International title is dead. What has Takeshita done with the International Championship since he's won it? Nothing. And he's wrestling Will Hobbs, who's done nothing to deserve a shot at a championship. I don't know why they haven't consolidated the championship. Continental title, International Championship, merge it together, just make an AEW Intercontinental title. Just do it. Oh, but they're just copying WWE. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Just eliminate a title for the sake of there being too many titles and make an Intercontinental title and then make next year's tournament a shot at the number one contendership for the AEW world title. The G1 winner, doesn't the G1 winner get a briefcase, number one contendership to cash in at Wrestle Kingdom? Why isn't that the case here? The winner of this tournament should be the number one contender for the AEW World Championship, and that match should take place at Revolution. Revolution's one of their biggest shows of the year. I would probably put it right underneath All In. I don't know why we're not doing something like that and putting some more prestige into the tournament, yet we got to waste 6 weeks of our life for these guys to wrestle over a Continental Championship. The changing of the rules was unnecessary. The changing of the rules was like, hey, I just want to change it. No rhyme or reason, no explanation given. I got to find my fucking reason. On Grok 2, it's a second generation Grok AI bot on Twitter. Am I wrong? No. No, I'm not. This company just does shit for the sake of doing shit. No explanation given. Because they feel like their fans are smarter than everybody else. Let me tell you something, man. You need to continue to pump ideas and things into people's heads. Some shit goes over their heads and they don't realize it. Half of these shows come at you 1,000 miles a fucking hour. You don't know what the fuck was said. You don't know what the fuck is going on. Tournament needs a complete restructure as to what we're fighting for here next year. But what am I going to? I can't do nothing. Nobody's going to listen to me. I've been saying this same shit for weeks now. Since last year's tournament. But the changing of the rules for the semifinals to be one from one league against another semifinalist from another league, that is just brain dead, just try hard. Trying too hard there, man. You don't need to go to those lengths. Keep it simple. You told a story with Ricochet and Ospreay. I want to see that. I want to see them finish at the top of their league to get back to what they were doing on Saturday. Not at some other point. The issue was within the tournament. You need to give us a payoff for what happened within the tournament. And Fletcher and Okada, everybody was like, oh, I don't believe Fletcher beat Okada in the tournament on Collision weeks ago. You got a story there where Okada's looking for his revenge. He wants his win back. Can he do it? Can Fletcher do the unthinkable again and beat Okada twice in the same tournament? They booked the tournament with two great stories in their own leagues only to change the rules of the tournament where none of these stories and none of these matches take place at the end of the tournament. Yet everybody's going to glaze and everybody's going to fucking praise Tony Khan for trying something new. Meanwhile, what worked last year was the exact way you needed to have it happen this year. God, this company is fucking garbage. This company is garbage, man. I'm sorry. I don't know. I would love for someone to prove me wrong, man. Please tell me when I am telling a fucking lie, bro. Someone tell me. Really? It's amazing. It's amazing. The two stories in this tournament we're not getting a payoff for in the fucking pay-per-view, man. Oh, my fucking goodness. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, man? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, man, we're going to quickly go over what we got here. Listen, it's Christmas night. I thank you guys, man. We got 1,800 people in here. I appreciate you guys coming on through. And we're going to try and wrap this up in the most economic way possible. But I thank you guys for joining me here on the podcast. It is your Dynamite Christmas Day post show. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Twitch. Thank you guys very much. We are live on the Purple Snake. Yayo says, Merry Christmas, brother. Much love on Twitch. Like Them, it says, Purple Snake checking in. Absolutely. And we got Yayo subscribing at Tier 1. He has been a Twitch VIP for 2 months now. Thank you, brother. And thank you guys. Thank you guys for joining me on YouTube. Super chats are open if you guys want to be generous on this Christmas night. Super chats are open. We'll hang out at the end of the show. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. The Off the Script End of Year 2024 Awards. We set it up a couple of days ago. We already got 2,300 people voting in just the last 72 hours. Make sure you guys get your votes in, man. I put the link at the top of the live stream chat. We're going to try and make it as cool as possible, man. Jesse's already in. We're going to do an end of year awards live stream. And we're going to hopefully grab a couple of friends in the process to help us on that great night. So make sure you guys vote. Most of the categories have already been determined. You'll know them when you vote. I can give you a glimpse into what's going on, man. I can confidently say Tony Khan did not win Booker of the Year. He did not win Booker of the Year, man. Make sure you guys go vote. We're going to have fun with that. I will keep you guys posted on when that live stream is happening. Go check out all the content on the channel. Yesterday, we uploaded on Christmas Eve. WWE in the midst of yet another sexual allegation scandal. This time with Lee Fitting, who is definitely one of the big figureheads on their production team. So make sure you guys go check that out. AEW Rampage has been canceled, thank God. So go check that out. Great upload on Tuesday night. There was no Tuesday Night Titans on Tuesday, and there will be no Tuesday Night Titans next week. We will be back with you on January 7th. That is the night after Raw debuts on Netflix. It's going to be a big show. Can't wait to get back to work with the Solid Monster. Get those thumbs up in, and please hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. We are on our way to 165,000 subscribers. And let's try for a goal of 750 likes on this Christmas day. And like I said, super chats are open. Get them on in. We'll hang out at the end of tonight's post show. Yes, Tony Khan did not win Booker of the Year. It's not difficult to figure out who did win based on the choices, man. And AEW did not win Promotion of the Year. And both categories were landslide victories. Gee, I wonder how both of those went. We got one of the smartest fan bases, one of the smartest communities in the entire IWC, folks. We don't steer you wrong here. We're always open. We're always honest. We're always truthful. We always give it to you how it is. So if you guys think that who sits in this chat doesn't know a thing or two, they certainly do. Opening match here on this Dynamite on 34th Street. Yet another taping at the Hammerstein Ballroom. This is three straight nights. Ring of Honor on Friday. Collision on Saturday, which I was actually live for on Saturday. We did some really good numbers on that Collision post. I think it's up to like 27,000 views, man. You guys showed up big for that. I don't usually cover Collision, but my Collision post show did more than the Monday Night Raw post show. Raw was boring. Collision was actually pretty decent. And then Dynamite was taped on Sunday, which aired on delay here tonight. So this was obviously a taped show. And AEW will be live for Fight for the Fallen next Wednesday, live on New Year's Day. That is the first night that they are actually simulcasting on TBS and Max. So it should be cool for them. Will Ospreay defeated Brody King in the Continental Classic Gold League match here. Ospreay was tied with Ricochet and Claudio coming on into this match. And he needed either of them to lose their matches to be able to advance to the Gold League semifinals. So we will definitely get into all that tonight as my guy here. Oh, my goodness. Jason Barker with a $100 super chat here tonight. Jason Barker says, throwing down a bomb for you, JD. Grab yourself something nice. Netflix Raw is going to be a banger. A round of Gentleman Jack old fashions with an eggnog infusion for the whole venue. Look at this motherfucker, man. Oh, my goodness. Jason Barker knows how to get the party started, man. Thank you, Jason. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Hopefully, Santa Claus treated you very well this year. And we always love having Jason in the venue, man. Thank you, brother. Merry Christmas. And I am sure to see you Friday night on the stream when we are live for Friday Night SmackDown, man. Gentleman Jack Old Fashioned, man, my favorite. And then we got a round of eggnog for everybody. You better fucking believe it, man. Will Ospreay needs Claudio and Ricochet to lose their matches. This entire show was basically, does Ospreay get in? And how every match on this card tonight directly affected Ospreay in this tournament. This was a very good match. Too many kickouts for big moves for my liking, but it was a good match. One question I have to ask Tony Khan. Are we going to get behind a push, a proper push, for Brody King in 2025? Now, A, I hope this push directly affects the House of Black. B, if it doesn't, Brody needs a push on his own as a true big man in AEW because the guy is fantastic and the crowds have absolutely responded to everything that Brody King has done over the last 6 weeks. And if we don't do that, I don't know why we're here. Start opening your ears and start paying attention. Brody is a wanted commodity by the fan base. It's time to push him a little bit harder in 2025. So we'll pick it up after the commercial break. Four-arm battle back and forth between these two guys and a big high back body drop planted Ospreay into a commercial break. Things are going Ospreay's way after the commercial. Fired off some desperation handspring corkscrew kick that sent Brody to the outside. Ospreay connects with a sky twister press from the post to the floor. Back inside, King no-sold the charging boot. Chop battle started, which proved to be a big mistake for Mr. Will Ospreay because Brody's chops are as devastating as anybody. King walked right through Ospreay's chops. Forearm started working for Ospreay, but it was only one forearm from Brody that took Ospreay off his feet. He draped Ospreay into the corner, hit a wild overhand chop after he licked his hand. Out to the floor again, Brody hits a violent crossbody against the guardrail. We go back inside. Brody connects with a cannonball in the corner, and he only gets a two count. Ospreay starts firing up. He's throwing as many strikes as he possibly could. King maintained control of the wrist and was going at Ospreay again with chops. King went for a charge. Ospreay cut him off with multiple hook kicks. He tried for an os cutter, but Brody swatted him out of midair. King went for a big lariat. Ospreay flew around and connected on a very impressive-looking Styles Clash on Brody King, which is not an easy thing to do. He got a near fall, and that really popped the crowd. Hidden blade, that was countered by a lariat and a sit-out pile driver by Brody for a two count. He did another lariat. Both hit the ropes and charged with Ospreay hitting the hidden blade. Brody kicks out of a Hidden Blade at one. We got another Hidden Blade. That one connected. And he kicked out at two. So Brody kicked out of two Hidden Blades. A little over excessive for my liking. One Hidden Blade should have netted him a two count, not a one. He should not have kicked out at two Hidden Blades. Zero. So stupid. Ospreay actually gets the win off of the Stormbreaker, which is now have become, it's easily become one of my favorite moves, man. Such a beautiful move. Stormbreaker, one, two, three, and Will Ospreay gets the victory. And he now sits at 9 points in the tournament by beating Brody. Now he's got to watch on from the back because his fate is not even his. So he's got to watch the other matches to see what happens in the other matches, and it would directly affect where he ends up in this tournament. He either makes World's End or he doesn't. He did his deed. He won. Now he's got to wait for Ospreay, or Ospreay's got to wait, rather, for Ricochet and Darby, and he's got to wait for Claudio. He went one-on-one with Commander tonight. How many people thought Commander was going to go 0 points in this tournament? Tony Khan proved you wrong on his new best buddy, Commander. This was a very good match. Very good match. The whole story here was Ospreay now has to wait for everybody else to wrestle to find out his fate and if he's going to World's End. Renee, she's with Christopher Daniels and security as she approaches the Hurt Syndicate, who's arriving on Sunday to the Hammerstein Ballroom and informs them that MVP and Bobby Lashley have been banned from the building tonight. MVP said, as a courtesy to Renee Paquette, they'll follow this request and wish her a Merry Christmas before leaving with Bobby Lashley. They did not want Shelton Benjamin's match with Okada to be riddled with potential outside interference. But I don't really understand why. Nobody else is really outside interfered in this tournament, so why would the Hurt Business? Seemed a little over excessive to kick them out of the entire building. Not sure they minded. They probably went down the street and had a couple of cocktails. A little over excessive, again, for my liking. That really didn't need to happen. But they wanted to push the narrative of absolutely no outside interference. Which kind of had me a little bit confused during the Ricochet and Darby Allin match. Which is the next match we get into. Ricochet goes one-on-one with Darby Allin. Now, Ricochet, he's already in. He's already in this final. He's got 10 points. He leads the Gold League in points. Darby has 7 points on coming into this match. Now, if he beat Ricochet, Ricochet would have, I believe, still made it because he beat Ospreay in a tiebreaker, so it would have been Darby and Ricochet. That's my understanding. At this juncture, at this point in the show. So what do you think happened here? Just for the sake of story and for the sake of making everything a little bit more unpredictable, this match went to a 20-minute time limit draw. Both men get 1 point each for this time limit draw, which leaves Ricochet officially advancing to World's End and Darby only sitting at 7 points. That's the way it ended up. So Ricochet, once again, comes out to the New York City crowd. He's being booed. They continue to throw toilet paper at him in New York City. Would not be surprised at this point if they start selling toilet paper with Ricochet's likeness and image on it, just like they did Dominic Mysterio that one time. I hope that doesn't happen because that was cheesy, and this would be even cheesier. At least make him into a cool heel. He did not do any of the aha! We didn't get any aha Ricochet tonight. Fans are throwing toilet paper at him. He threw it right back at the fans. And we'll pick it up right at the commercial break. This is where I got very confused. Now, maybe the referee was lenient. Maybe he didn't give a shit. Or maybe the rules of this match ended up being no DQ and nobody said a fucking word. So, Darby's out there and Ricochet's out there. They both make their entrances. Toilet paper is being thrown at Ricochet. Darby has his pink jacket like you usually see him wearing. He throws it out to ringside. Keep that in mind for later on in the night. Darby's jacket is still at ringside, underneath the ring, but kind of not underneath the ring. It's just hanging out by ringside. So we'll pick it up before the commercial break. So dropkick sent Ricochet out to the floor by Darby. Allen wanted a low dive. Ricochet hit a pump knee midair. Ricochet sets up a table from underneath the ring on the outside. He placed Darby Allen on the table. He goes up to the apron. He climbs up to the top rope. And he delivers a 630 senton, which looked beautiful. Delivers a 630 senton from the top rope through the table and through Darby Allin. And we got the doctors coming over to check Darby Allin, and we go to a commercial break. Chat, correct me if I'm wrong. Wouldn't this be constituted as a disqualification in a normal pro wrestling match? Or am I losing my mind? Ricochet physically in front of the referee set up a table. Physically in front of the referee placed Darby on the table. Physically in front of the referee climbed up to the top rope and delivered a 630 senton through the table. Wouldn't this be considered a disqualification? No DQ. So now all of a sudden, not only do we have ridiculous changes of the rules to the Continental Classic, now every Continental Classic match is probably operating under no DQ. Or was it just this match? Don't really understand the rules. You know, if you stick to one rule, then people wouldn't complain. Or are the referees in AEW that fucking stupid? Do you not anticipate fans asking questions? Do you not think fans are going to start asking, well, he set it up, he placed them on the table and delivered a move through the table right in front of the referee in all three instances and not a DQ? Gee, man, I might be a fucking idiot then. Doc Samson went to go check on Darby Allin. Have you seen all the glazing for Doc Samson lately? Have you guys noticed that Dax, our good friend Dax Softwood, have you guys noticed that Dax last week glazed Doc Samson? Gee, man, I wonder why right before the holidays, man. He must be in the Christmas spirit, is Dax Harwood. Everything came as soon as Ray Phoenix deleted his tweets and Ray Phoenix said what he said on social media a couple weeks ago. Everybody now glazing Doc Samson. Dustin Rhodes just re-signed with AEW. He goes on social media and writes paragraph after paragraph after paragraph where he not only added Tony Khan once, but twice. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Tony Khan. Please, as I get on my hands and knees, you're so great. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to wrestle at AEW. Yeah, you're on Ring of Honor TV in front of how many people? I probably had more people at the fucking dinner table on this Christmas night than you got watching Ring of Honor. You fucking break. AEW is so great. Tony Khan's so great. Doc Samson's so great. I can't wait for the fucking rah-rah speech for FTR going into fucking Asheville, North Carolina next week. So after Darby was put through the table and Ricochet was not disqualified, we come back. Allen had rolled into the ring. He was on the outside for the entire duration of the commercial. He beats the 10 count. He gets in at a 9. Paul Turner Paul Turner, the referee here, who usually is very good at what he does, checked on him. Ricochet leapt from the top into a stomp on the midsection. And he went on this attack, just relentless with strikes. So now both are fighting in the ropes. Allen managed to get an avalanche code red off the top. And he got a near fall on Ricochet. Pops right back up. Goes for another one. Delivers a code red again. This time normal in the ring. He delivers a code red for a two count. Allen wanted a coffin drop. Ricochet rolled to the apron. He gets back in. Battles back. Tried a springboard 450. Missed. Allen locked in a Fujiwara armbar. And Justin Roberts counted down the two-minute warning. We got 2 minutes left. Ricochet nearly got to the rope with his arm, but Allen wrapped it up. Ricochet just got his toes for a rope break. We got 60 seconds remaining. We see Darby Allen with a sense of urgency. He floated over into a Northern Lights bomb, and he transgressed into a Scorpion Deathlock. Transitioned into a Scorpion Death Drop. His ribs were in a lot of pain, and he couldn't make the cover. I'm guessing that 630 senton took a lot out of him. So the coffin drop, Scorpion Death Drop, not enough to get the win as we get the time limit ending the match. 20 minutes are up after the coffin drop, and the bell rings with nobody winning. And both guys get 1 point each. It was at this point that Ricochet had now officially qualified for World's End and the Gold League semifinals in the Continental Classic. So that was basically it. So I kind of knew who was going to win this match just based on the standings alone. Because you knew Ospreay was going to be at the pay-per-view. You knew Ricochet was going to be at the pay-per-view. Darby was not going to be at the pay-per-view. They want to protect Darby. Darby's actually taken a beating more times than I'd really care to admit. He's lost a little bit more than he should be losing. So a time limit draw here. Not really the worst of outcomes, but a predictable outcome nonetheless. And Ricochet goes on to the pay-per-view. Now remember Darby Allin's jacket, his coat, that pink furry coat that was on the outside. As soon as Darby is leaving the ring, Commander's music hits. And Commander comes out. He's the new Ring of Honor TV champion, man. If you wanna make one of your toys as worthless as a champion as ever in AEW, just put the Ring of Honor title on them. It's so laughable that this is being looked at and treated as a big deal. Who gives a shit? Ring of Honor's dead. So Darby's walking up the ramp. And Commander's walking towards Darby. Darby stops and whispers something to Alex Abrahantes. He then whispers something to Commander. Now, at this point in the match, we didn't know what he whispered to him. He's wrestling Claudio tonight. Commander's got 0 points. Claudio needs to lose, otherwise Ospreay's not going to the pay-per-view. So if Claudio wins, it's Ricochet and Claudio coming out of the Gold League. So what did Darby Allin tell Commander? So we get Commander and Claudio one-on-one here. And this match went to Commander. Commander got the victory. So the whole jacket of Darby Allin's came into play here. So we take it to the outside. And Commander, he's being beaten up by Claudio here. Claudio's keeping Commander grounded. Commander tried for Poison Rana. Claudio held on, but both fell over the top rope, landing in the same position. Claudio dropped Commander face first on the apron. We go back inside. Commander kicked the leg and managed a springboard hurricanrana that sent Claudio into the ring post. Commander, he scaled up the ropes, hit a big somersault dive. Claudio clutched his right arm. We go back inside. Claudio tried a pop-up uppercut. Commander counted into a abdominal stretch. Commander then flips out of it hits a face buster before going up the ropes, only to get crotched on the top rope by Claudio. So Claudio is arguing with the referee. Commander goes to the outside. He pulls out Darby's jacket from underneath the ring. And in the jacket, he pulls out a pair of brass knuckles. Now, Darby told both Alex Abrahantes and Commander that they were brass knuckles in the jacket. Use them to beat this asshole. It's basically what he said. That's exactly what Commander did. Claudio reached for the ropes to grab Commander to bring him back into the ring, and he was met with a face full of brass knuckles. Commander hit him with the knucks. He hit the rope walk, shooting star, and he got what I think is the biggest upset victory in the entire tournament, and he beats Claudio, and he crushes Claudio's Continental Classic dreams. Commander gets 3 points. Claudio gets 0, and now it's Ricochet and Will Ospreay in the Gold League, and they both qualify for World's End. Now, Death Riders were quickly out there. They beat down Commander as soon as the match was over. Marina Shafir went to grab a chair. Jay White's music hit. He comes out. This was obviously a distraction because then you saw Orange Cassidy run from behind the Death Riders because they were all fixated on Jay White. And he cleaned house on Wheeler Yuta and Claudio, took them out with dives. White came in, planted Pac with a Uranage. Yuta stumbled back in and was dropped with a beach break. And Cassidy went to go check on Commander. He left Jay White alone. John Moxley ran in with the briefcase, which still to me is way too small to be housing that huge AEW championship. But it is believed that in this briefcase that they've been carrying around is the AEW World Championship. And he hit Jay White in the back with the briefcase. Cassidy, and he gets taken out as well. Moxley has a microphone and says, as long as his heart is still beating, this is the closest that Cassidy and White will ever come to the AEW world title. They are delusional if they think they deserve to even lay eyes on it. Adam Page's music hit. He stormed out to the ring. Cassidy and White slowly got to their feet, and Moxley found himself surrounded with all of the challengers for Saturday's Fatal 4-Way. So we got Page ducking a briefcase shot from John Moxley. Moxley ate an orange punch. He hit a buckshot lariat, and then he ate a Blade Runner. So he ate all three of their finishing moves. He rolls out to the ring without the briefcase. Jay White went to go grab the briefcase. Adam Page steps on the briefcase so that Jay White can't pick it up. Orange Cassidy pushes both of them off the briefcase, puts his sunglasses on, signifying that it's not about this. We got to take him out at the pay-per-view, and then we can worry about that. They need to work together like they did tonight to take him out, and then we can worry about winning the world championship and saving AEW. This was fine for what it was. Nothing too exciting. The Death Rider storyline is dead. No matter where they go with it, it's dead. They are clearly heading in the direction of Darby Allin, whether it's at Revolution or at All In. It doesn't matter. It's fucking, by the time we get to the conclusion, nobody's going to give a shit. Because there hasn't been any solid investment from the fan base as far as what the story is. The story is so uninteresting that nobody gives a shit what the conclusion is or what the possible conclusion will be. Oh, the AEW roster is delusional. I want somebody hungry to step up. He wants to change AEW from what it is now. Meanwhile, nothing in regards to this storyline is changing AEW for the better. If they were changing AEW, we would have story here that people are interested in watching. And nobody cares. The Death Riders have gotten nobody over. Dork Order, Top Flight and Action Andretti, Orange Cassidy, Jay White. I feel bad for Jay White and Adam Page. They got to be fucking thrown into this garbage. They are not better off for it. The rumor is, or the rumor was, I should say, the Elite are going to come back and save the company, which is, for all we know, the fucking plan. Who's going to challenge the Death Riders? Who? Are there any other factions in AEW that are going to step up to the plate and challenge the Death Riders? There's only one. There's only one. You're not going to see who that stable is until after World's End. Because you're going to get Bobby Lashley and Swerve Strickland wrestling again. I don't know what the outcome of that match is going to be. I'm assuming Swerve gets his victory back. And then at that point, I predict an alliance between Swerve and the Hurt Business. That would give the Hurt Business 3. MVP would be 4. MVP's not really going to be wrestling, but the Death Riders versus the Hurt Business or the Hurt Syndicate is where I'm thinking this goes. With a partnership between Bobby Lashley and Swerve that doesn't act as Swerve in the Hurt Business, but more of a mutual business partnership. I don't like you, you don't like me, but together we're better instead of fighting. That's where we're going. Swerve has felt less than. Ever since he lost that world championship to Bryan Danielson, he's felt less than, which is amazing. He was finally getting his feet underneath him as world champion, and he put together a solid late title reign. That Bryan match was incredible. The moment was incredible. I love the Paige steel cage match at All Out. Both guys should be better off for it. Swerve Strickland should have been on the chase for the world championship, fighting his way back, which you could have did with this Hurt Syndicate story, but Paige really should have been the world champion. That's where I would have went. Don't know what we're doing with Jon Moxley and the Death Riders. I don't. The Death Riders don't need a world championship. They don't. Jon Moxley never needed the world championship. The world championship realistically should have went to Adam Page. After the steel cage match with Swerve, he should have been the one to retire Bryan Danielson in Tacoma at WrestleDream. Nobody's going to change my mind. Should have been Adam Page as the world champion. Jon Moxley never needed the world championship. The fuck does he need the world championship? Why does this story need the world championship? To do what? By the time we get to its conclusion, Darby's going to win the championship. Great. What happens then? Is AEW miraculously saved? What do they need saving from? How could we sit here and think Darby's going to save the company? How could we sit here and be interested in Darby saving the company when they haven't really done anything to elicit a company takeover? How could I sit here thinking the Death Riders run the show when we all see Tony Khan tweeting every 5 minutes on social media about Dynamite? How can we sit here and think the Death Riders are taking over the company when we all know Tony Khan is sitting right behind that black curtain, right behind those tunnels, still booking the show, still producing the show, still on the call in Gorilla with the headset? They've done nothing to take over the company. They've done nothing to give you a feeling that the company's going under. The ratings, the bad ratings, the loss of interest, the fact that they don't want to listen to the fans crying out for story, I feel like Tony's actively killing the company more so than the Death Riders are fucking taking over the company. Their own leader is killing the company instead of the fucking act that's pretending to kill the company on live television. Make it make sense. Every aspect of this company should have been taken over by the Death Riders. Every aspect. You can't go into a takeover storyline randomly out of the blue and expect it to get over. You mean to tell me that nobody else in the company wants to stop the Death Riders from this takeover? You mean to tell me that nobody else in that company wants to work alongside the Death Riders to overthrow AEW because they are also tired of the way AEW is run? The Death Riders should be more than just Marina Shafir and Pac and Claudio and Wheeler Useless and Jon Moxley. If you really want the Dava be a company takeover, You're going to need to show me more than that. This is why I've always, I've said it for, weeks ago. I said, if a pay-per-view, if World's End doesn't end, if World's End doesn't end with a fucking absolute Nexus-like destruction of everything AEW, and I mean going all the way, ripping down the fucking tunnels, Excalibur getting his fucking mask ripped off. Bro, why are you playing it so fucking safe? Why are you not giving me legit, gee, man, these guys feel dangerous. Chemical bleach to the face. I'm going to need more than that. They followed nothing up after what they did to Bryan Danielson. Nothing. Everything since then has been basically them pussyfooting around a takeover. None of it works. None of it has worked. None of it. That's why the story's dead. That's why there's no interest. That's why the ratings continue to fucking flounder. 600,000 is the new norm. Ever since they showed the footage for CM Punk and Jack Perry at All In last year, their ratings were hovering around 750 to 800,000. Their normal was around that. Maybe some weeks they reach 850. Ever since they showed that footage, 700,000 became the new norm. People opened their eyes and people woke up. This shit sucks. AEW, where's the old AEW? Where's the AEW that I fell in love with? Why are they not even trying anymore? Where's the story? Why is it just fucking random matches with no story? Now the new norm is 600,000. How long before the new norm is 500,000? I can't wait for people to start getting the ratings now that they're simulcasting on Max and make a big deal about how the fucking company's drifted into the 500,000 range. If this was such a great storyline, if people were so invested in this story, you wouldn't have gone from 800,000 to now 550,000 on a weekly basis. It's not working. World's End needs to end in the most World's End type way. AEW's world needs to end. Every aspect of this company needs to be fucking changed. If you really want a true takeover. Darby Allin winning the world championship after these weeks of just plugging story here and there and Jon Moxley cutting some fucking cryptic promo about everybody being delusional and he wants someone to step up to the plate. Step up to the plate to do what? What have you done? What have you done to the company for someone to say, man, I gotta stop him? What have you done with the world championship? World championship has not been seen since he's won it from Bryan Danielson. For 3 months, we haven't seen a world championship. Why? No explanation on any of this. Everybody's worse off for it. Jay White, Adam Page, Orange Cassidy, everybody else that's been fucking sucked into this Death Riders vortex. Daniel Garcia was one of the guys who watched Bryan Danielson get carted out at WrestleDream. Where the fuck's he been? Private Party was out there too, right? Where the fuck have they been? Hook was out there. Where the fuck's he been? We went from creating a new pillars in AEW to what? How do we go from WrestleDream to where we are now? It's almost as if they don't know what the story is going to be or what they want the story to be. Nobody's over. Nobody's over. Nobody's over. We got a $100 bomb here by OmniSlash. Hey, JD, I've been watching you since high school. I'm 25 now. I've been a fan of AEW since day one. But I cut ties with AEW long ago, and I have not looked back. I think AEW is beyond saving, and Tony Khan is too stubborn to step down. Tony Khan has killed my joy for AEW. Brother, you are not the only one that feels that way, man. And you know what? Tony doesn't give a single iota of a shit what you, me, or anybody else thinks or feels. It's all about what Tony Khan wants. And then he pawns it off as if he's doing it for us. He hasn't done shit for us. He does it for himself. Everything he's done has been to benefit him and what he wants to see. It's a real-life video game to him. And he gets to act it out and play it out with his imaginary controller sitting in Gorilla. Thank you, brother, for the $100 Super Chat. Thank you and Jason for the big bombs tonight on this Christmas night. We got a video package from Mercedes Moné and Chris Statlander, too, at World's End. Literally no story going into this match. The only reason why this match is happening is because everybody praised the first match. And Tony figured, let's do it again. Gee, I wonder who's going to win that one. It ain't going to be Chris Statlander. Match was made 8 days before the pay-per-view. You are not going to beat Mercedes Moné in a match with zero story in a match that was literally just made on Saturday's Collision. 7 days. Kazuchika Okada. He defeated Shelton Benjamin in the Continental Classic Blue League match tonight. This win gives Okada his ticket into the World's End semifinals. These two have faced off in Japan 11 years ago, from my understanding. According to Grok on X, 11 years ago in Japan, tag team matches, but they've never faced each other in a singles match. Okada got a massive ovation when his coin sound effect during his entrance music played. And Shelton Benjamin has had a very impressive run in AEW so far. We pick it up after the commercial break. Okada scaled the ropes back inside the ring after he was delivering a DDT to Benjamin on the outside. Benjamin sprung up, leapt up to the ropes, huge superplex, and we go to a commercial break. So Benjamin is in control. Come back from the break, forearm exchange. Okada got a full head of steam into a running back elbow into a double down. Benjamin battles back. Teased the tombstone, Okada slid out, teased the German, Benjamin escaped, and he transitioned into an ankle lock. Okada rolled into the money clip, but as Benjamin escaped, Okada was able to hit an air raid crash on the knee. Okada connected with a top rope elbow before going with the Rainmaker pose and then flipping off the crowd. Okada wanted Rainmaker, but settled for a nice series of German suplexes. Okada wanted Rainmaker again. Benjamin ducked, hit three German suplexes of his own, which he's kind of been doing as his own miniature Suplex City type deal. Step up corner knee, which sounded brutal by Benjamin. Okada countered the exploder into a roll up and snap drop kick. Benjamin countered Rainmaker into pay dirt for a two count. Okada spun out of a T-bone and managed to hit the Rainmaker for the eventual win. 1-2-3. And Okada punches his ticket to World's End. Post-match, Benjamin offered a handshake. Okada accepted it in a show of respect, which lasted about 2 seconds because he ended up kind of wiping his forehead with the middle finger and gave everybody, including Benjamin, the middle finger. A little bit of a slower type match compared to what we've seen so far. I would even say Ricochet worked a little bit of a nice heel style in his match with Darby Allin, kind of slowing the pace down a little bit, which is nice to see. This was quick. Very predictable. Okada got the victory, which I think everybody knew. There was not a chance in hell that Okada wasn't going to the pay-per-view. And that's exactly what happened here. Okada wins pretty quickly over Shelton Benjamin. Now, as far as Okada at World's End, I am predicting we see a Kenny Omega return. Now, I really don't know because we saw a DQ happen right before our very eyes in this tournament, tonight with Ricochet and Darby Allin. So I'm predicting that Kenny Omega, whether it's Okada winning or losing, I think we see Kenny Omega coming back on Saturday, and I think he has a stare down with Okada. Because before anything, the plan was Okada, I believe if they wanted Okada with anybody at Worlds at All In, it was going to be Omega and Okada. That was the plan. And I think they're going to go pick up the pieces and do that as soon as Omega comes back. So Omega and Okada, I do believe will have a face-to-face or a stare down at World's End. And I do think that we will see Omega on television before we get him doing what he's got to do for New Japan. Renee was backstage with Swerve and Prince Nana and asked what the end of 2004 has in store for him. Strickland can hear the crowd chanting Swerve's house and mention the success he's had this past year, even with the losses he's had. Strickland was about to mention his plans for 25 when Ricochet strolled on in, super cocky about what had happened earlier, and asked if he saw him kick Darby Allin's ass tonight, and said he'll do something Strickland couldn't do last year, and that's when the Continental Classic. So Strickland kind of faked him out like he was going to hit him. Ricochet is standing there, and he calls him Stefan and told Ricochet not to fail. If he does, Strickland will make him pay dearly. Strickland left, and Ricochet said, that's why Strickland doesn't have a house anymore. So, clearly with the Hurt Business kind of cucking out Ricochet and Swerve now getting into it with Ricochet because Ricochet's being a cocky prick, it looks like both of these worlds are going to come into play. And they're clearly setting up Ricochet and Swerve Strickland for some future match. Obviously, Swerve is going after Bobby Lashley first, but it looks like Swerve and Ricochet are going to have a collision course matchup probably taking place sometime in 25. We'll see what happens there, but I don't really know where they're going with Ricochet's heel turn and heel persona. I mentioned this on Saturday. I feel like if they bring in Samantha Irvin, that it would really complete his heel turn. Because I don't really think he's going to get it over on his own, just himself. He's terrible on the microphone. So if he had her in his corner and had her on the microphone for him, speaking for him, I think that would get him over tremendously. And he can continue doing what he's doing, embellish a little bit more, add on top of what he's doing now. I think that's the way to go. Now, I don't know if they are planning to bring her in, if it was an idea, a plan, I don't know. But I'm assuming she's going to cost a pretty penny to bring her on in. So who knows what the plan is, but I do think that if Ricochet is going to continue being a heel, he's going to need a manager of sorts. And putting him with Don Callis or putting him in the Hurt Syndicate, which right now is a lost cause, I don't think that's going to work for him. He needs something to help accelerate and build him up. I think with them being a power couple, power heel couple, I think that would work. But I don't know if that's the plan. It's just a fantasy scenario. Tony will overpay for her. Tony will overpay for her because he knows exactly how WWE didn't want to lose her. And he would gloat till fucking kingdom come that he's got Samantha Irvin on AEW television. What she does, who knows? Does she ring announce? Does she strictly manage? I know she mentioned that she wanted an on-air role outside of announcing, so if Tony can give her that, I mean, that would be all Tony needs to get a last laugh. He loves being petty. And if he could make that happen, he certainly will. Money is not an issue for him. Chris Jericho's New York Minute is shown, and he feels like Christmas. Well, he's in the Christmas spirit and will grant one final miracle on Friday's Rampage for Anthony Bowens. He said the Scissor King doesn't seem like he has too many friends and hopes he didn't bite off more than he can chew in the Big Apple. I will not be watching the finale of Rampage. Couldn't give a shit. Goodbye and good riddance. Toni Storm. She went one-on-one with Deonna Purrazzo. No, not Deonna. We're going one-on-one with Taya Valkyrie, not Deonna Purrazzo. Taya Valkyrie, who got no reaction tonight. Toni Storm offered a handshake. Taya Valkyrie delivered a cheap shot, took control early. We got a she's a rookie chant from the crowd to Toni Storm. Valkyrie hit her own version of Sweet Cheek Music, followed by a Meteora for two. Storm fired out of the corner. Purrazzo tripped her up. This allowed Taya to post the leg and remain in control during a commercial break. So after the commercial break, Toni battled back. Valkyrie responded with a misdirect lariat. Storm got to the ropes during a submission attempt, but Deonna slapped her hand away from the ropes. Storm got to her feet, hit a Luthez press, Sweet Chic Music in the corner. Taya spun out of Storm Zero. Both ladies slap each other until a spear dropped Toni. Taya is yelling at Toni, who manages a quick inside cradle for the Flash 1-2-3. And I can't even begin to describe how quickly AEW moved on from this match onto the next segment. This match meant nothing to anybody. They simply wanted Toni on the show. And they, as soon as the bell rung and the winner was determined, they moved on as quickly as Santa Claus in the night. Couldn't even be bothered to let Toni Storm's victory on Dynamite breathe. We go into a vignette with Better Than You, Bebe. Highlighting some moments from their year last year. Trying to sell this match for the Dynamite Diamond Ring on Saturday night, which I'm still confused as to why the Dynamite Diamond Ring is even a thing. Why does it matter? Renee Paquette was backstage with Adam Page, and she asked if the challengers will be working together come World's End against Jon Moxley. Page said, whatever happens, he guarantees Jon Moxley won't leave World's End as AEW champion. Christopher Daniels walks in and said Page was right. Christopher Daniels has really had a come-and-go situation as on-air authority figure for AEW Dynamite, huh? He's gone away for weeks and then all of a sudden comes back like nothing happened. How do we believe in Christopher Daniels doing anything on this show when we all know Toni makes the matches, books the matches, talks about the matches, promotes the matches on social media? You don't see Triple H doing that. You see Triple H going on social media fucking telling you what's happening on SmackDown. It's all Nick Aldis. They leave it to Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce to do. Just my two cents. He walks in, said Paige was right. He's been through a lot, and the last thing Paige needs is someone talking to him. So if he needs anything, he knows where to find him. Paige cuts him off and says, you're an office stooge, number one. Daniels, he says, Moxley has the Death Riders. Cassidy has the Conglomeration, and Jay White has the Bullet Club. All three of those guys have someone watching their back. When was the last time we even saw the guns for Jay White? And Juice is out hurt, so does Jay White even have anybody? Kyle O'Reilly's in the Conglomeration. Does he even give a shit about Orange Cassidy anymore? He's too busy worrying and crying about fucking Adam Cole. Don't know. Paige doesn't have anyone, says Daniels, but Daniels knows something about having backup in the past like SCU and Matt Sydal, who said he wasn't here anymore. So if Paige needs help at any point, let him know. Daniels walked off. Paige kind of looked like he was contemplating the offer. Really, really bizarre segment. Don't know. I don't know. Christopher Daniels has no power over anybody on this show. He has no respect from anybody watching this show. So an office stooge, yes. An office stooge that has absolutely zero respect from anybody watching this show. Main event, Kyle Fletcher, Daniel Garcia. This is a Blue League match. So much for Danny Garcia signing with AEW, huh? Gave him the TNT title and they left all the way to wherever they left to. Danny Garcia left all the way to the bank. Tony Khan keeps Danny Garcia from going to WWE with the TNT championship being the beacon of his entire run. Great. Danny Garcia will never amount to anything past the TNT title. Maybe the international title. Maybe. He will never be a world champion. Kyle Fletcher basically has this in the bag. There was no reason to believe that Kyle Fletcher was losing this match. So we go into a commercial break. Right before the break, Fletcher sent Garcia crashing to the outside. He followed with a powerbomb on the apron, which fucking looked brutal. My God. He took control. And we go into a commercial break. The crowd is trying to get Danny Garcia back into it. He fires off some lariats. Fletcher hits a big boot. Garcia no-sold and turned Fletcher inside out with a lariat of his own. Fletcher spilled to the outside. Garcia hit the big drop kick against the railing. Fletcher tried a draping DDT back inside. And Garcia escaped and hit a draping spinning neck breaker for a two. Fletcher battles back with a big haluva kick in the corner. He went for a brain buster. Garcia countered into a guillotine. Garcia kept the submission while tied up in the ropes. Fletcher stepped to the apron where he escaped the choke into a brain buster on the edge of the ring. We go back inside. Fletcher hits a massive Liger bomb for a two count. Fletcher went for a big charging knee. Garcia swept the legs into a dragon tamer attempt. Fletcher sent Garcia nearly into referee Aubrey Edwards. This delay allowed Fletcher to low blow Mr. Garcia and hit a beautiful brainbuster, and Garcia kicks out at a two after a cover. Fletcher took Garcia up in the corner. He wanted his brainbuster again. Garcia tried turning it into a sleeper. Both fell to the mat in a, it looked like a botch, sloppy reset. Forearms back and forth between both guys, which turned into slaps from both guys. Garcia, he gets the best of it with some thrust kicks. Garcia jumped into a dragon tamer. He wrenched back with the submission. Fletcher slammed his head down repeatedly to break the hold. Power drive knee connected. But as he went for a pile driver, Garcia got a jackknife cover for a two count. Fletcher up first with a lariat, multiple big corner, big boots. Top rope, brainbuster, spike Garcia, and Fletcher got the victory. After the match was over, Will Ospreay came out. They had a stare down with Fletcher. And we get the graphics for Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher and Okada versus Ricochet in the Continental Classic semifinals. Which shouldn't be because I ranted about it in the beginning of this show. The stories that they are playing out, both are Fletcher and Okada and Ospreay and Ricochet, and neither one of them are playing out in the semifinals. That's the way AEW Dynamite came to a close. And we got one last promo from Jon Moxley here. Jon Moxley is out back with Marina Shafir and the AEW World Title briefcase and said, it's three for the price of one, even if it's not always pretty, which is what he's accepted. They'll continue their work after World's End and continue their crusade against ego and delusion. Doesn't really sound like a company takeover to me, but God bless Jon Moxley for thinking so. Paige, White, and Cassidy, he said, lacked spirit and the heart, as no one in AEW wants it. They say they do, but they don't. I just want good storytelling. Which in this case, this is not. Extraordinary things require extraordinary sacrifice. They aren't willing to sacrifice and take the time to look up from their phone while tanks are rolling in, then he'll sacrifice them all. They think the AEW world title is something they can achieve when in fact it's something you are. It's in your heart. Taking pics with the belt by the pool and in his car is not for Jon Moxley, but he knows exactly who he is. He's the king, born for all the things that come with it. Moxley is the only king that's ever been, and he and Shafir walk off with the AEW title briefcase as the show comes to an end. Sure. His words are starting to mean as much as Bray Wyatt's did when Bray Wyatt used to speak very cryptically, loved when he spoke, but always lost every fucking match. Not a single fucking thing mattered in anything he said. Same goes here. Nothing matters. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares about the story. The players in this feud that we've gotten don't matter. There's no reason to believe Moxley's losing the title. Continental Classic ended up like this. Ricochet with 10 points. Will Ospreay and Claudio got 9 points, but Will Ospreay had the tiebreaker over Claudio. Darby at 7. Brody King had 6 points, and Commander had 3 points. Blue League, Fletcher at 12. Okada had 10. Briscoe had 9. He finished in third place. Mark Briscoe finished ahead of Danny Garcia. He finished ahead of Shelton Benjamin, too. Mark Briscoe had 9, Danny Garcia at 7, Shelton Benjamin at 6, and the Beast Mortos had a whopping 0 points. Rampage, Jericho versus Bowens, Private Party versus two guys I've never heard of, Thunder Rosa versus Layla Gray, and Hook versus Nick Wayne. Goodbye. World's End looks like this. Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher. Okada versus Ricochet. Both are the Continental Classic semifinals, and the Continental Finals will happen with both winners of that semifinal, those semifinal matches taking place in the same night. Konosuke Takeshita versus Powerhouse Hobbs. That's for the AEW International Championship. Mercedes versus Chris Statlander for the TBS title. Mariah May versus Thunder Rosa for the AEW Women's title in a Tijuana Street Fight. MJF versus Adam Cole for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. And Jon Moxley defends in a fatal four-way against Orange Cassidy, Switchblade Jay White, and Adam Page. That's for the AEW World title. Great. Fantastic. Does anybody care? Does anybody even realize there's a pay-per-view this Saturday? Certainly doesn't feel like it. Feels like the end of the fucking stream, though, thank God. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Super chats are open. Continue to get them on in. We'll hang out in just a second. Follow me on social media. You guys know the deal. At JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. And make sure you guys vote in the end of the year, off the script, 2024 voting. I pinned it at the top of the live stream chat. I will have it pinned at the bottom in the comment section. You guys know the deal. Vote, vote, vote. We will have a nice live stream going over all the winners. Get through these super chats so I can go have one last drink on this. Now, December 26th. Tone C with a $2 super chat. Merry Christmas, OTS fam. Tone C, hopefully it was a good one for you, brother. Michael Krause with a $2 super chat. JD and Jesse and OTS and JD Graham. Merry Christmas, my friends. Thank you, brother. Cody Snyder with 32 months. Merry Christmas, Chief and the OTS family. Thank you for making life a little bit more enjoyable. All the best. Thank you, brother. Stu Sexton with a re-up. Stu Sexton is the second longest running VIP member in the entire OTS community, right behind Tan May. Thank you, bro. Hopefully you had a very nice holiday. Johnny Boy Vaccaro with a $2 Super Chat. Merry Christmas to you, yours, and OTS family. Thank you, brother. Johnny also says with a $5 Super Chat, best Christmas movies are National Lampoon, Christmas Vacation, Die Hard, Jack Frost, The Ref, and Violent Night. Highly recommend if never seen. Bro, I'm more of a Home Alone and Just Friends type of guy. Michelle with a $5 Super Chat. Now maybe Darby can focus on Mox and not the tournament. And like Jericho, you feel like AEW has moved on from Mox. The Mox story is that Mox is trying to stay relevant. Yeah, Jericho is trying to remain relevant in any way that he can. It's quite sad. I went over it. I discussed it on Saturday night. It's blatantly obvious. It's been obvious. It's even more obvious now. After a tease of a possible match with fucking Big Justice and Big Boom AJ. Keith Hobson with 8 months. Merry Christmas, OTS family. Thank you, brother. Santa Claus is a good movie with Tim Allen. That's a good one, too. The first one. Terry's Odyssey with 10 in Super Chat. No message. Thank you, brother. Phil. Our good buddy Phil with a $10 Super Chat. Merry Christmas, JD and OTS fan. Been a crazy few weeks. Moving to a new place is getting me stressed, which is why I haven't been active on here, but I'm always listening. Here's to 2025. Brother, be safe with the move, man. I hate moving. One of the most stressful things a human being can do, man, is pack your shit up in fucking boxes and move from place to place. Good luck with that, bro. Arcade the Hedgehog with a $5 Super Chat. JD, if Tony is the CEO that writes AEW, then what does that make Mercedes Moné? Shouldn't we be blaming her for the bad shows? In fact, why do we need two CEOs? One is a fictional CEO and the other is a real life CEO. Neither one of them are doing a good job. Guardian of Chaos with a $20 Super Chat. What's up, brother? Merry Christmas, JD. Some lousy news on a blessed day. I could use the power of prayer. My older brother is in ICU. Fighting for his life. Thank you for providing this distraction, my brother. God bless this show. Sorry to hear that, Guardian. Nothing but the absolute best for our guy, Guardian of Chaos, man. I hope at some point, man, you did try to enjoy what the holiday season means and what it brings. Our thoughts and prayers with Guardian, man. Let me see some prayer emojis for Guardian's brother in the chat. Triple M. $5 Super Chat. Hope you had a good Christmas. Heard you say Destiny on a new laptop. When you try it on there, make sure you cap or uncap first person or frame rate to 144 FPS. Gonna hit different. Well, we'll see, brother. I bought myself a new Asus gaming laptop. Hopefully you had a good Christmas too, man. Michael Krause with a $2 Super Chat. AEW thinks good matches are story. Makes no sense. No. This whole show was nothing but banger matches. It's more draining than anything. Phil with a $9.99. I agree the tournament rules didn't need to be changed, but I didn't mind the change. The championship finals prediction is Okada and Ospreay with Okada winning. I want Fletcher, but I don't see it. Bro, if Kyle Fletcher doesn't win this tournament, we wasted everybody's time. Genuinely wasted everybody's time. If they do Okada and Ospreay to have Okada winning and then set up Omega's return for the Continental Championship, that's not going to mean shit. That match doesn't need the Continental Championship. It doesn't. Jason, thank you for the $100 Super Chat. Appreciate your brother. Oh, shit, with a $4.99. No message. Final boss becomes a new member. Omni Slash with a 100 in Super Chat. Thank you, bro. Oh Shit with a 99 cents. Fixes a Bind with a $5 Super Chat. He says, thanks for being here on Christmas Day. I'm home alone, but my name ain't Kevin. It's lonely. But it's all good now that I get an OTS stream tonight. Happy I could deliver a distraction, brother. Killer Swag with 29 months. Merry Christmas, OTS family and JD. Hashtag OTS for life. Thank you, bro. Jason Park with a $5 Super Chat. Big Boom Justice, or Big Boom AJ, was live on TikTok earlier today like a fucking goon. Good for him. Cringy fucking family. And Keith Tunstall with 15 months. I move into my first apartment on Monday, then going to the WWE Holiday Tour here in Detroit to celebrate the real world champion, Kevin Owens. I love it. Let him know that we appreciate him, brother. Guys, that's it. I'll be back Friday. Thank you for a great stream. Appreciate you guys very much. Hopefully Santa Claus was good to you on this Christmas night. Live on Christmas night, man. Never say that JD doesn't love what he does, man. I'm here on fucking Christmas night. Jesus Christ. Covering Dynamite of all shows. Make sure you guys follow me on social media, man, at JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on that bell for notifications. Adam Hernandez is coming in big with a 20. Don't know how drivers are in New York, but I compare AW to drivers here in Texas. These drivers changing lanes and sense of direction don't make any sense, brother. It's terrible over here. Nobody switches lanes with actually blinking. Nobody knows how to merge. It's awful. Anyway, guys. Live Friday Night SmackDown. We'll be here on the channel. Vote in the OTS 2000 Best of poll. And make sure you guys hit that thumbs up on the way out. I will see you guys right back here Friday for more on the channel. SmackDown Live right here on Off the Script. I will see you guys later. And please, enjoy the holiday. Thank you guys for all the support. And Merry Christmas. You're in the-